Hey, good day, everybody. This is Dan Young with Total Wellness Radio. Thank you so much for tuning in, making us a part of your day. Today's episode of Country Doctor Wellness Wednesday, episode 233, Becca and I tackle the discussion of endometriosis. What is it? What is this specific problem? How does it express itself in the body? Some underlying contributing factors, dietary lifestyle, and nutritional applications that you can take to position yourself to get well, ladies. I know there's over 150 million women afflicted with this concern, and it is rampant and very debilitating. So, in this episode, episode 233 of Total Wellness Radio, Becca and I have a chance to bring people up to speed on some natural, non-invasive, safe things they can do for themselves when they're dealing with endometriosis.
Thank you so much for joining us, and welcome to Country Doctor's Wellness Wednesday.
We do this
every Wednesday.
I love it when I open my mouth and your voice appears. That's just, okay.
It's great. So today we have a very important topic, endometriosis. This affects roughly 1 in 10 women, or I think it was like over, what is the number? We have it in the stats and the details if you want to check it out. But we're discussing
literally hundreds of millions.
It's a big, 150
million plus.
It's a big, big impact, unfortunately, in our world. And so we want to talk about that today. We want to talk about what you can kind of look for, you know, when you should be concerned, and what you can do to naturally support yourself. That is what we're all about.
Yep.
Just giving you guys free education. Thanks so much for joining us.
And, hey, Stephanie, Travis, welcome.
Let's maybe kind of start off with, you know, what I've noticed is that women that struggle with this maybe don't even know that it's an issue or a concern.
Correct.
Until they maybe go to try to conceive a child and then are unable to get pregnant, which can be one of the most emotionally detrimental things a woman can go through of struggling to conceive. And so what we want to kind of talk about is like, what is it? And then what should you look for, right?
Yep.
So that you can
hopefully recognize
some red flags before you're at that point of trying to conceive, and maybe address those so that when you are ready to try and conceive, this is hopefully already addressed for you, right? So maybe first help us understand like what happens in the body if someone is struggling or dealing with endometriosis.
What this has been described in the literature as is excessive cellular growth. It may be on the inside of the uterus. It could be also along the outside of the uterus. It can actually affect the ovaries, the fallopian tubes, the pelvic organs. You know, typically what we're finding is this is with women. What happens when these extra cells appear, and this is where it becomes so problematic and very, very painful, really painful, is that during the cycle, during the menstruation, those cells, although they're outside of the uterus, still, because of the hormonal influence, they fill with blood. So they engorge with blood. Yet, because they're not in the right location, they cannot shed like the other areas of the uterus that's going to shed with normal cycling.
Okay.
So there's where your biggest problem is. And it's really, I mean, if you think about just the textbook definition, you're describing abnormal cell growth. Mm-hmm. What do we know that really that mimics, which is cancer, right? It can be classified, it can be led into as a form of, you know, cancerous type tissue, abnormal cell growth. But it typically happens in the uterus, but also outside ovarian areas, the fallopian tubes. The cycle comes and goes, but that blood can't shed properly.
Okay.
And so it creates a tremendous amount of pain. Women who are dealing with this will experience like larger menstruation, like clotting, a lot of like passing a lot of clots that seem to be abnormal. Severe pain, as I already mentioned.
Yeah.
Huge nausea, vomiting. There's a lot of different things. Painful intercourse, right? They can't have intimacy the way they'd like, or it's just, you know, it's just so painful in that area. So these are some of the most common things.
And then infertility is usually kind of where it gets to the point where we become very, very concerned. The reason I think it's really important that we are talking about how this expresses itself in the body is that I like to call these red flags.
Yep.
It's kind of like whenever we're experiencing these things that are uncomfortable or, you know, we're not enjoying, right? Things that our body is doing, we want to, and sometimes we almost feel like, I've heard people say they feel betrayed by their body. But in all reality, if you look at it from this angle, in that the body is expressing that there's a problem or that something isn't performing optimally, it's sort of like waving a red flag at us and saying, hey, something isn't right here. Can you address this? Or, you know, let's get the train back on course, or however you want to, you know, whatever analogy you want to use. But what happens sometimes is we have these symptoms. And sometimes what happens is we get caught up in doing things or taking things that maybe suppress or cover up those symptoms so that we no longer have to deal with that discomfort. And in all reality, it's the body expressing, hey, red flag, we got something going on here. Can you please address it so it doesn't become a bigger issue for you? So it's actually our body doing us a favor.
He's trying to tell us.
If we look at it from that angle versus our body trying to you know, betray us or abandon us or not respond properly. It's actually your body trying to do you a favor.
Hey, Kevin. Hey, Lacey. Thanks for joining us. Lacey will really be Nicole. Lacey will be really interested in this as one of Wyoming's midwives.
She's a licensed big shout out midwife. To Lacey Mansfield, who is local here in Wyoming, and she's a midwife. So
And you're right, Travis. One of the basic contributing factors that we will talk about is the use of these birth control pills and medications. It has a huge impact on that. So thank you for pointing that out. That's absolutely true. So some of the contributing factors.
Girls, the
younger they start menstruating and the longer they are away from actually achieving pregnancy, the more cycles a youngster has into her, you know, going through puberty, teens, early 20s, whatever, the more cycles the woman experiences, the more historically they see a lot more endometriosis.
In fact, you know what? I was just chatting with a friend. I won't share names because that's not important. But I was actually just chatting with a friend, and she was expressing that her daughter, who I think is 11, was expressing some concerns or frustrations that all of her friends had started their cycle and she hadn't. And so she was kind of feeling left out. And so I was really glad we got to have the conversation because I got the opportunity to share with her, you know what, I completely understand where your daughter's coming from, because as human beings, we like to be part of the group. But in all actuality, a lot of these girls are starting much younger than they be. And by her not starting early actually is a good thing.
So one of the biggest contributing factors to this is the estrogen dominant woman. Now, again, that goes back into the hormonal situation that Travis has mentioned. The literature talks about that, the hormonal imbalances, and we start seeing an estrogen dominant woman. Estrogen makes cells grow. That's the problem, right? Is that it makes these cells grow, and when you have hormonal therapy or things of that nature, you're going to increase that. Plus, and it talks about, I think later on in the dietary things we're going to talk about, but meat. Women who love to eat commercial meat are getting exposed to hormone-laden meats. And there's where you can pick up a lot of estrogen factors, a little extra estrogen in, from the hormones that they put in the cows in the commercial meat. So.
Yeah, or girls drinking milk.
That comes from the cow.
They're starting this at a very, very young age, right? Age one. And then they're drinking milk every single day because that's what we're brought up to believe we should be doing.
Drink your milk.
So these kids are drinking this milk that the cows were fed hormones to speed up production of the milk. But that is then being passed on to the children are receiving those hormones through the milk because it doesn't get taken out. And then we're going, oh, our kids are taller than they used to be, or they're growing really, really good, when all actuality they're getting exposed to these hormones that it's very unnatural for us. I'll leave it at that.
And the other thing that women have to, and this is, you know, an area that's kind of touchy, it's a challenging topic, but it is one of the definite contributing factors, and that's if the woman has ever experienced trauma or abuse. That will also contribute to this type of activity. So, you know, we just have to, like I've always said clinically, that, you know, our goal over time is to educate women and men and to get it into a professional intimacy, right? To leave, achieve a level of, so we can really get into a healing relationship and develop great. develop confidence and trust that when we are communicating what I'm experiencing, what I've had in the past, whether it be traumas or abuses or whatever it is, that these are real things that can contribute to how well your body performs later on in life. So certainly nothing to be ashamed of or afraid of, but you know, you have to have a certain level of trust.
Yes.
To go down certain path, in communication and relationships to address some of these things. And there's certainly a lot of things that we can do, like the emotional release work that you guys do and trauma relief in terms of certain herbs and homeopathics. I mean, there's so many different things. There's so many options. I guess that's really what...
Yes.
Like, there's a lot of hope and there's a lot of options. There's a lot of positivity with being able to position women to thrive in spite of some of these things.
Yes.
That they've experienced.
Yes.
So those are some of the more common underlying contributing factors. Hey, Sky. Hey, Wanda.
Thanks for
Welcome.
Joining us.
Glad you're here.
What about things we can do?
Yes.
Or how does our, right? I know, you know, there's a lot of things that we can do or not do on a daily basis to contribute or naturally support ourselves. So what are some things we can do?
From a dietary and lifestyle application, this is where we start losing people because we ask them to avoid coffee and chocolate, certain caffeine, things of that nature. So, they kind of like, oh, I got to get rid of my coffee. It's like, no, these are all recommendations. They are proven helpful for women who are dealing with this kind of thing. So, if you're eating, if you're drinking a cup of coffee a day and the rest is tea or water, maybe not such a consideration. If you're the type of person that drinks a pot of coffee.
Don't look at me like that.
Well, you don't have the problem.
Okay, so
it's
no
big deal.
So yeah, we'll make fun because Becca definitely has
she loves her coffee.
I love my coffee. With that being said, I have gone off of coffee.
Yes,
just to prove
for 30
that
days.
I'm capable of doing it.
Yep,
it
you
was
did.
Much harder
That's
on
right.
everyone else around me than it was me, but... I also do a lot of really, really good things for myself. I drink a ton of water.
Yep.
I recognize when I start overdoing it with the caffeine and I back off of it or I take a break. So we'll poke fun at me because I do love my coffee, but I also do a lot of really good things for myself every day.
Yes, I know you do. Yeah, it's good.
And when I went off of coffee, like when I have tested that caffeine, because that's one thing we'll test, right?
Yep.
I have tested if caffeine was causing stress on me and it was this particular area. So thank you, Tammy Notch, for identifying that. I took a break from coffee and now it has not come back up and I kind of manage that.
Yeah.
So it's not that we're not saying you have to give up these things for
forever.
The rest of your life.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's a temporary while
Gotta
you kind of
body
restore
a break.
Some health
yeah.
and then bring it back in moderation, right?
I love my coffee also. I try to limit because I never know when I may need it in the middle of the night for births. Yes.
Great point, Lacey.
Yep. Another thing that needs to be identified in the diet is the saturated fats. Hey, Ambria.
Mm-hmm.
Hi. Hope you're doing well. Hey, Sharon.
Great point.
Mm-hmm. You become a label reader, right?
Yes.
If it says hydrogenated or partially hydrogenated oils, avoid it like the plague.
Mm-hmm.
These are substances your body doesn't know what to do with. It stores them. It parks them. The immune system starts attacking them. You get inflammatory responses, and you can start getting abnormal cell activity because of that inflammation. So it's a domino effect.
Yeah.
Remember that. Stay away from those things. Another great thing you can do in the diet is to make sure that you are getting adequate fiber. What are some... For you, like I know you like the salad thing. I mean,
I eat a lot of salad.
What are the three like things
apples,
you really encourage for fiber?
I mean, I eat a ton of vegetables.
Yep.
I like the apple a day.
Yep.
Right. Nuts.
Yep.
Are another good one.
Okay.
Almonds,
macadamia, cashews, walnuts.
You can put flaxseed in almost anything.
Yep.
There's tons of really, really
Ruthie.
There's tons of really, really good options for fiber. Yeah.
One of the things we found also is because of the standard American diet, the denatured foods that people are having, which was very evident recently when you'd walk into a grocery store and all the box, canned, and bag stuff is gone, and all the wonderful fruits, vegetables, and healthy meats and dairy are still left behind. I'm concerned that people are eating certain things right now in excess that's not going to support the proactive nature they're taking to avoid certain illnesses, right?
Yeah.
But they're eating foods that, in fact, are going to erode their health even worse. So, and then you put stress on top of that, voila, you have a recipe for health disaster.
Yeah.
That's a separate issue. Now, the thing I want to focus on is that some people come in, they're so toxic that considering going vegetarian for 30 days. Not that I am a vegetarian, I'm not, okay? Mm-hmm. I had homemade chicken soup for lunch with lots of veggies, no pastas or grains, right? But lots of veggies and lots of meat. And so vegetarian, when you go to a bioavailable phytonutrient plant-based diet for just 30 days, as best you can, not perfect, it really stimulates the body's ability to detoxify, to get rid of some of these excess hormones, some of these excess chemicals. The dark green leafy greens that have the chlorophyll in them and all this fiber are magnets for pulling toxins out of the system. It's a wonderful purification. It's amazing what can happen if you just do that. Because doing a body detox for someone who's suffering, a woman who's suffering from endometriosis, this type of concern, can be life-changing.
Yeah.
If they'll do it just for 30 days. Then go back to eating some healthier thing, you know, some meats, lean meats, not so much. Have your dairy back, things of that nature, you know. But be thoughtful, right? Make thoughtful choices about the diet. And some people, they're so toxic, they have to consider a full body detox for 30 days.
If you don't have this specific concern, but you feel like, man, I could really benefit from a detox, but giving up meat for 30 days is an overwhelming feeling, you could follow like our 6-2-1-1 where like we aim to have just one serving of meat a day. So that's just my kind of ongoing goal for myself.
Yeah.
Is that I'll try and only have like the palm of my hand once a day. Some days I don't have any meat. I'll try and do that once or twice a week where I just don't have, I have meatless days. But the point is the plant-based foods.
Yes.
We do not consume enough of those. And what happened in the grocery stores in the last week proved that we have a complete disconnect there. I mean, I'm happy because I can get my food. But the point being that the plant-based foods is what nutritionally feeds us, right? That's what Mother Earth grew those to help nourish our bodies, and we have become sort of disconnected from that. So if, you know, going vegetarian for 30 days is overwhelming for you, try just looking at your... try looking at your... What are you eating on average every day? Is 80% of it plant-based?
Yep. Raw, preferably uncooked, organic when available and affordable.
Yeah.
Right? That's kind of the rule of thumb. You think colors of the rainbow. You don't have to eat a bale of hay size salad every day. It can be in a nice bowl, but just think colors of the rainbow, right?
Yeah.
And when you touched on something that reminded me. What it means to nourish the body is this. Here's my definition of nourishing the body. Positioning it to perform optimally. What are some of its optimal functions? It needs to restore, rebuild, repair, cleanse, rest. It needs to regenerate, right? It needs all the system support. So you have your whole body's healthy immunity, healthy endocrine system, healthy hormones, healthy digestion, right? Clarity of mind, body, thinking. I mean, so that's what it means to me. Am I eating foods on a consistent basis, day in and day out, that are going to support that kind of definition?
Do me a favor for those watching. Drop a comment and let us know what is your favorite plant-based food.
Oh, that's a great idea.
What is it?
And it can't be Brussels sprouts.
I had some the other night.
I'll eat mud.
Actually, it was last night. I made Brussels sprouts.
Oh, no wonder you're just so giddy today. So, foods that contain natural occurring iodines. Now, for those of you in the Northwest, around the Cheyenne, Wyoming area and surrounding areas, we live in what's referred to as the goiter belt. Hypothyroidism is another indicator, another thing that can contribute to this concern with women. And we live in an area where that is very, very common for thyroid. And natural iodines, they have proven, spinach, I love spinach.
Thank
Eat all you
Lacey.
Want, Lacey. They've proven that natural occurring iodines in the diet from sources like kelp, dulse, fish, things like what's, you know, a conglomeration of things, like superfoods, things of that nature, on a daily basis. There's a lab up in Beaverton, Oregon called ZRT Laboratories. We use them for when we really need to do some chemistry work with people, right? And so they'll give me these hormone profiles. And there's a PhD that runs that, and he has basically come out and said specifically that when iodine and vitamin D levels at their pristine like sweet spot point for people, you can avoid as many as 80% of all known cancers. Most people don't know that. No. 80% when iodine and when vitamin D levels are high. We live in an area where most people are vitamin D deficient. They need to be supplementing 6 to 9 months out of the year with good cod liver oil or things of that nature that's going to have a whole food source of vitamin A and D. And eating foods that are naturally occurring with iodine. So dulse, kelp, fish.
Okay.
You and I eat fish minimum twice a week. I know it for sure.
We also do superfood.
Superfood
is kind of a mix of super greens, concentrated green nutrition, spirulina, chlorella, wheatgrass, really, really good stuff that helps with that as well.
Alcohol and smoking made the hit list. Sorry, we won't move on. Careful on medications. We've already kind of touched on that, especially the birth control. Have thyroid check for hypothyroidism. Mm-hmm. We've definitely made a mention of that. And the other thing, too, that most people don't do, especially right now with the distancing that's been suggested for most people, is we're not moving enough. So get out a little yoga mat and get YouTube on. If you're at your home, you want to de-stress yourself. You want to not worry about what's going on or kind of just kind of take some of that nervous energy out. 20 minutes a day, 3 days a week minimum in your living room. Find a good online, you know, digital coach, right, that can walk you through. There's all kinds
of
classes.
There are tons of free videos. Oh, my gosh.
It's amazing. It's everywhere. You don't need the gym. You got a gym in your living room.
I have seen several parents outside with their kids when I came in today, and that just, like, warms my heart. I saw them running around playing with their kids outside and, like, yes. Because you know what you need right now? Sunshine.
Yes.
Vitamin D.
So, food first, supplement second. That's kind of our rule of thumb. That's kind of our motto. You have to change the diet. You cannot, don't expect to improve the quality of your health long term if you do not adjust dietary habits. You have to. In fact, if you're struggling in that area and you want help, fill out a food log or ask us about a food log. Go to our Country Doctor Nutritional Center free downloads.
You can download a food log.
Download it, text it to me or fax it to us for a week or two and say, hey, could you give me some recommendations on maybe how do I do better at adding certain foods and it's going to get me to 80-20 like Becca talked about. So that is really, like, do that. You don't, you know, just do it. I'll get back to you. Fridays are my day for catching up on all that stuff. And I'll be happy to share with you what I can based on your food logs. Be honest on your food logs and, like, give you honest feedback. That being said, we also know that because of the deficiencies, the denatured nature of foods today, the exposure of metals and chemicals and things that cause deficiencies.
We don't get nutrition from food the way we used to.
Exactly.
I don't remember the exact statistic, but, like, for example, vitamin C in an orange, I think is only about 5% today as it was
5 milligrams.
Like, 100 years ago.
Which was 50.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's dropped considerably.
Yeah.
You know.
Just one example.
This is just one example.
But this is every single food is nutritionally not as dense as it once was, which is why we supplement with things like superfood to help make sure our bodies are getting the nutrients.
Because it corrects all the deficiencies. It helps over time. Minimum 90 days on superfood, 2 tablespoons a day. Check out the smoothie recipes we have. They're amazing. The cinnamon one is awesome. It's killer. We just put another lady on that this week, and she just thinks it's, there you go. Was that for that? Was that fist bump? And so, but we have to correct depletions and excesses in the body and balances of nutrients. It takes a minimum of 90 days on superfood to successfully do that. You just need to know that going in. A couple of tablespoons every day. Some people start at one and work their way up as their palate adjusts to the taste because it is very green.
I don't know that I've ever talked to anybody who took superfood consistently for 30 days that didn't jump up and down about
how good they felt
after doing that.
Yep.
Now, the first couple weeks, you might have some palate adjustments or trying to figure out how to make the smoothie so that you enjoy it.
Yep.
But I've never, and I challenge you, let me know if you've done this, but I've never talked to anybody yet that did it consistently every day for 30 days and didn't go, man, I love that stuff and how it makes me feel. And you actually start, like, craving it because your body recognizes what it does for you.
It's the fuel.
So after about 2 to 3 weeks, it's like if you don't do it, then your body goes, whoa, 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 I'm missing something really important here, right? You get B vitamins from it. It's like 70% protein. So you don't have to worry about adding protein to your morning smoothie.
Kelp, dulse, bladderwrack, seaweed, which are all your natural occurring iodines. Yeah.
And the price point, if you compare it with virtually any super greens on the market, for the quality you get, the price point is like probably less than half of what some of the other ones on the market I've seen.
Between 25 and 50% less. And the coaching that goes with it. The how to to really get maximum benefit out of it and make it palatable and how to use it. Well, one lady that just stirs it in applesauce. I mean, be creative, right? Yeah. Had a truck driver about 18 years ago that used to put it in beer. Stir it up in a glass of beer, and that's how he drank it. I don't know.
We're not recommending that.
That's not a real, no.
Probably not.
From a
That's better than not getting it, I guess.
From a supplement perspective, from a dietary standpoint, right, but going into supplements a little more deeply, especially for women, HP Wild Yam is Wild Yam and Dong Quai. Amazingly.
Best friends.
Oh, yeah. For this of problem with that women can deal with, and that's just and that's just not endometrial problems, but that's also to help promote normal cycles, normal monthly function, okay? There's the HP Female Balance and Female Plus, which we also use. It has the black and blue cohosh. It's got licorice. It's got the squavine, which these are historically herbs that were designed to restore, rebuild, and repair normalizing function for women who are struggling there. So again, when you start, I call it HHRT, herbal hormone replacement therapy, HHRT. No side effects, toxic side effects, things of that nature. The beautiful thing about phytochemicals, this is something that most people don't know. I hope this is new for everybody, even you, Travis, because I know you do a lot of studying. And yes, kale is amazing. Beet leaves are good too. Is when you use phytonutrients and you give the body estrogen precursors, it's considered like an estrogen precursor, okay? Mm-hmm. Here's what happens. If your body's overproducing estrogen, okay, and you introduce like things like black currant seed oil, the Dong Quai, the wild yams, these different phytonutrients that the body can convert, what happens is just the very presence of those phytonutrients, the body says, oh, I don't need more estrogen, and it actually helps to subtly calm down the body's natural production of estrogen. Now, those hormone-based type estrogens versus plant-based precursors for estrogens don't create extracellular growth. That's why they're so amazing. You take black currant seed oil for like inflammation, women, the pelvic organs, and they know they're estrogen dominant. You load them up on the right phytonutrients. The body starts, because there's a mimic taking place, it stops producing. It cuts back on this stuff that does influence the cellular growth. And that's why that stuff is so
amazing. And suddenly you notice your moods and your things start to kind of stabilize instead of doing this.
Yep.
All right, we got like 2 minutes.
Okay. S-zymes, I got two other comments. S-zymes, because it's a proteolytic enzyme, it means that it will actually, when you take it away from food, I've done this with women who, maybe they can't see us. Maybe they need to do a video conference. Maybe they need to, they're in a place where they can't travel, okay? Or they've been, unfortunately, with what's going on right now today, they are actually isolating at home, working from home digitally, which is, there's two things that you must do. Three for sure, maybe four. Well, I'm getting out of hand. The female or female balance with wild yam, but also making sure that you have S-zymes. S-zymes are a systemic enzyme formula. It's classified as a proteolytic, meaning that when you take it away from food, it will actually travel through the digestive system, into the small intestine, into the bloodstream, through the liver, and it will actually eat away at inflammation that doesn't belong in the body. So when that tissue is inflamed, there's compounds left behind. There's residue of that, and it gets rid of that and helps calm it down. So three first thing in the morning away from food, three at bedtime. Do it for, again, 60 to 90 days. And as you work through the cycle, hey, Kathy, thanks for joining us.
I do S-zymes with my kids as well when they have
Absolutely. Sure. Lastly, a systemic detox throughout the entire body. That's a little more aggressive. That kind of complements. Maybe a person goes vegetarian for 30 to 60 days, 30 days minimum. Do your best 80-20, right? Like Becca talked about.
But everybody needs to cleanse and nourish.
Cleanse and nourish.
We can't say that enough.
Bowel, liver, kidneys, lymphatic.
In that order.
Calendar of cleanses. If you go to the Country Doctor.
We also have a special group now just for group cleanses.
Cleanse and nourish, for Facebook.
For Country Doctor Cleanses. So if you would like to be added to that group, drop a comment. I'd be happy to get you added or share the link with you.
Okay.
And we want to thank you guys so much for joining us. Next week, we are talking natural sugar handling, which might be beneficial for those folks who maybe struggle with some diabetes or concerns about diabetes. Thank you so much for joining us.
Hi,
hey, Shannon, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for joining us. Ruthie, take care.
Appreciate you guys. Don't forget to subscribe to Total Wellness Radio.
Take care, guys. Talk to you soon. Well, that'll do it for this episode of Total Wellness Radio. Thanks again for tuning in. And for more information, be sure and catch us on Facebook Live every Wednesday at 1 p.m. Mountain Time at the Country Doctor Nutritional Center Facebook page. Until next time, thank you so much for tuning in.